Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to a different edition of the Locked On Wolves podcast. My name is Zachary Bennett. The Locked On Wolves podcast is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. It is your daily podcast about the Minnesota Timberwolves. A little bit of a different episode today in that it was uploaded on its own, and it's an interview with Gerald Bourget. Gerald Bourget covers the Phoenix Suns over at hoopshabit.com as well as the NBA at large, and I figured in preparation for tonight's game, I'd ask him a few questions about the Phoenix Suns, which would allow you, the listeners, to get to know tonight's opponent a little bit better. So enjoy the interview. You can find Gerald on Twitter at GERALDBOURGUET. And you can find his work at hoopshabit.com. All right, joining me, as promised, Gerald Bourget. That's French if you didn't know. He is he is an editor and the Phoenix Suns beat reporter over at Hoops Habit. I consider him a former colleague, being that I used to produce a little content at hoopshabit.com. So, Gerald, how are you doing?
Pretty good, Zach. How about you?
It's going okay. How is the Valley of the Sun, my native land, treating you?
It's pretty great. Just got back in today, and it's like 65 out right now in November. So
not bad.
A lot better than the current state of its basketball team.
Are you? We'll get to the basketball team in a minute. Are you still? Are you still located in Scottsdale, Arizona?
that's quite a slip up there. But no, actually, I'm down in Tempe now. Moved down south a little bit. So just Tempe now. No more snot. I mean Scottsdale.
Still taking classes at the AS at the Arizona State, eh?
Nope, all done.
Well, congratulations to you.
Oh, thank you, sir.
It's a land I certainly miss. The state of the basketball team is grim, although the record is better than the team I cover, the Minnesota Timberwolves. So why don't you summarize the season thus far for the Suns? I know they've played Golden State competitively, but all in all, it's been a pretty abysmal season, although it was predicted that it would go that way.
Yeah, they've done about as well as could be expected, which is not that great. 5-11, their record is not great, but it's not terrible either. I think they were projected like 26 or 27 wins this year. So they're sort of on pace. It's just been kind of disappointing as far as, Dragan Bender not getting as many minutes as he should, the number 4 overall pick, especially in a rebuilding year. The Suns hired Earl Watson without really doing a lot of due diligence, and that was kind of in the interest of building a culture and a sense of family and a more positive vibe for these younger players. But, if you're going to get a coach that's not really there for the X's and O's, you should at least make sure he's playing the young guy. He's given plenty of minutes to Devin Booker. He made the call to start him over Brandon Knight, which was the right call. He had T.J. Warren in the lineup ahead of P.J. Tucker, even when Tucker returned. I'm hoping now, once Tyson Chandler returns, maybe Alex Len will continue to get run with the starting unit because he's played well. It's just a weird kind of situation of balancing, keeping the veterans happy while also recognizing, this is a definite rebuilding team.
Certainly. And you say, not doing due diligence before hiring Earl Watson. What are sort of the pitfalls of his style as a coach and as his job at the helm as he's done thus far?
Yeah, he hasn't done a terrible job. It's just, especially with expectations being as low as they were, you know, he is working with a lot of 23 years and younger type players. There just isn't a lot of flow to the offense. It's very much dependent on guys like Booker and Warren being able to create their own shot. And Warren was doing a great job at the start of the season with that. He kind of was thriving on all that chaos because he could just do his thing, which is get buckets. But, you know, Booker is, he's only 20 years old, and to feed him the ball in the post and have him go to work and make him create his own shot time after time, it's a little bit frustrating because he could probably be a lot more effective if they were, you know, running some actual sets for him and trying to free him up for some catch and shoot opportunities a little more often. So it's, the offense really doesn't have much of a flow to it at all. It's a lot of, it's dependent on those guards being able to isolate and create things for others. On the defensive end, the Suns are not great, but you know, that's what you get when your starting center is like a 34-year-old guy who's kind of aging and past his prime. There's just not a lot of cohesion on that end. And, you know, it's a work in progress. Like, there's so much youth on this team, and they're starting to get more of the minutes. But, you know, Watson is doing what he can to build that culture, and the guys do really admire him and respect him and like him. So for now, that's good enough, I guess.
I guess it's an interesting parallel if you want to parallel it to the team the Suns play tonight and the Minnesota Timberwolves. The Suns, you know, have an interim coach. They decide to keep the interim coach and build the culture around him, and despite all of the negatives that, you know, coincide with the fact that he is the coach, they've sort of stuck with it, and the youth movement is a challenge for anybody, I suppose. But And you're seeing that with Tom Thibodeau, one of the league's premier coaches. But I like how you use the word chaos to describe their offense. The Suns are second in pace. They're 21st in offensive rating, 21st in defensive rating as well. So it's the stat that sticks out, though, is they're last in the league in assist to turnover ratio. So The organized chaos isn't exactly translating into team basketball, and where players are moving the ball, sharing the ball, and setting up each other for opportunities. Marquese Chriss, in addition to Devin Booker, before I start asking about Dragan Bender, is probably the biggest name, I'd say, in terms of young talent on that team. How is his rookie season going thus far?
It's going all right. He, you know, like Bender, he could actually stand to do, you know, to have a few more minutes per game. He's right around 15, 16, I think, which is funny because he's the starting four, but only by title, not by, you know, actuality. Because Jared Dudley's been playing really well off the bench. And the Suns have a lot of guys that can play the three, the four, the five, especially when they insist on putting Bender at the three. But Chris is super athletic. I mean, this kid's going to be on top tens for, you know, years to come as long as he stays healthy. He has a little bit of a, not a temper to him, but a little bit of a chip on his shoulder the way he plays. He doesn't back down from anybody. I think in one of his first preseason games against the Mavericks, he wound up throwing Andrew Bogut to the floor, and Bogut was like, what the heck?
Which is hard to do, yeah.
Yeah, he's a big guy, but he definitely plays with an edge to him, which, you know, you have to like, but he's also had a couple of games where he's gotten technicals, which for a 19-year-old rookie is kind of, you know, overstepping your rookie boundaries a little bit. He's super athletic. He's knocked down a couple of threes confidently, even though he's not shooting, you know, the greatest percentage from downtown. So, you know, him and Bender are both very raw, very young. I mean, I think he's the fourth youngest player, and Bender's the youngest player in the league right now. So it's definitely going to take them some time, but they've definitely shown flashes as well.
Yeah, Marquese Chriss, you say, he's shooting 33% from behind the three-point line. Definitely talented when you watch him. His attention span seems to be lacking sometimes as far as his defensive rotation go in the few minutes I've seen him play, but just an overwhelmingly amazing talent when he does do things well on the court. It's like, holy buckets, this guy's going to be something special. He's somebody I thought the Wolves would consider, but he drops a little further in the draft. But the name we've alluded to a couple times thus far, Dragan Bender.
Yes.
Frustrating to watch from a fan's perspective, I imagine. He's only played 110 minutes when he has played. He takes shots out of rhythm. He looks lost out there sometimes, but in terms of percentages, he's shooting okay from both the field and behind the 3-point line. It's just, you know, the assists aren't there. He's still very slim, which causes him to struggle defensively. I think you just mentioned that they insist on playing him at the three. What's up with that?
Yeah, in their minds, like, Dragan is already a very, very cognizant, very aware defender. You know, he's got the length, he's got the foot speed to stick with smaller players. I just feel like putting him at the three is stretching that a little bit too far. You know, he's a 7-foot power forward / stretch five. You know, that's what his real calling in this league is going to be. You know, he's shooting just under 39% from three. He hasn't gotten that's a really small sample size, of course, but he has not been hesitant to shoot the ball when he's got an opening. Like, it's not for lack of confidence. It's just disappointing that, you know, the Suns, they've had Tucker and Warren at the three. They've had Chris and Dudley at the four, and then they have Len and Chandler at the five. So finding minutes for him has kind of been contingent on, okay, well, who's sitting out tonight, who's playing, which is too bad, because in his first game, he came out, he had 10 points in 12 minutes. I think he shot like 4 for 5 or something like that. And he was the reason it was a blowout loss to the Kings, but he helped get the Suns back into the game before they kind of just squandered it all away down the stretch. So he's definitely shown flashes when he's gotten minutes. He's a very good defender for his age. It's just a matter of getting him on the court more often as the season progresses.
Yeah, I do remember watching that season opener against the Kings, and he was 2 of 3 from behind the 3-point line. I recall one of those threes being a bank in three, but there was that, yes. There was that, that stretch late in the third and in the beginning of the fourth where the Suns' youthful spirit came out and they were getting back in the game. There was, I think it was Marquise Chris had an explosive dunk that mm-hmm. you know, maybe brought him within 12 or 13. And you see Dragan Bender on the arc going back to the defensive end, you know, jumping in the air and celebrating as if as if they're ahead by 10 or 12 points. So a lot to be excited about, a lot of young talent, much like the Minnesota Timberwolves have down there in Phoenix. I've been joking with Tim Fakeless, who is somebody I do a different podcast with, the Wolves Wired podcast, that I reserve the right to pull out my Suns fan card in 3 or 4 years when a lot of these players become, you know, stronger, more athletically gifted, and definitely smarter in terms of basketball knowledge. How are the returns of Jared Dudley and Leandro Barbosa going down there in Phoenix, the homecomings, the celebratory returns of those two players, guys who were very much involved in the Steve Nash era Suns teams?
Yeah, you know, it's actually been, for Dudley at least, it's been a lot of fun to watch. He's played really well off the bench. And, you know, most people thought, you know, maybe in December, January, Chris would take over the starting spot at the four for Dudley. But it happened, what, 8-9 games in, something like that. And he was completely fine with it, completely embraced it. You know, he keeps saying the reason he's here is to mentor Chris and Bender and, you know, teach them about being a stretch four in this league. And he has definitely lived up to that promise. And it's funny because putting him in the bench unit has really unlocked his aggressiveness. You know, he's been knocking down threes. He's been playing with a more veteran lineup that likes to pass the ball as opposed to, you know, that guard heavy starting lineup that's more scorers. So for him, it's been really great to see him back in a Suns uniform. Barbosa, it's definitely fun to see him in a Suns uniform. It's just one of those signings that, from a pure basketball standpoint, doesn't make as much sense. You know, he's a great mentor for the younger guys in the locker room, and I'm sure they have learned a ton from him. It was just a little weird, you know, especially once they cut Archie Goodwin, who is not a good basketball player, but should hopefully get a chance from somebody moving forward. And in such a guard-heavy lineup, he doesn't get that many minutes. So when he's out there, you know, you enjoy those Brazilian blur flashbacks. But the real, you know, Dudley was their marquee off-season acquisition, and he's actually kind of lived up to that name, as funny as that might sound to other teams.
Yeah, I just remember Alvin Gentry calling him the least athletic power forward he's ever seen play the game of basketball. Jared Dudley's got to be fun to cover from a perspective of your job, is he not?
Oh, he is, and he's a fantastic interview too, which is something that the Suns were desperately needing over the last few years.
Yeah.
He's always willing to do an interview. He gives great insight. He's just a very friendly people kind of person. So it's great to have him back from that perspective as well.
Well, you mentioned Marquese Chriss, a guy who plays with a chip on his shoulder. Who would you say plays with a bigger chip on their shoulder, Marquese Chriss or Devin Booker?
That's a tough one. I'd say probably Marquese Chriss, just because his game has more of an aggression to it. Devin Booker's is, when he's not, he's been forcing it a couple of times this season, but his normally comes within the flow of the game and it's composed. And I say this, knowing that he got ejected in Denver a few nights back, but if the guy's still a class act, he walks off the court and signs some kid's autograph. Booker's still very much the sweetheart in the eyes of Suns fans out here.
Absolutely. And you say forcing it, and it reflects on the stat sheet. 36 assists, 38 turnovers. But he's really he really doesn't have much in terms of veteran leadership to work around. Would another fan favorite be Tyler Ulis? I know he's aesthetically fun to watch just because so many non-NBA players can relate. He's small, and he's out there trying to get the job done. I was surprised to see that he made the team when they cut to 15.
Yeah, he I would definitely say fan favorite applies to him. He's the smallest guy on the court, but he plays with a ton of aggression, especially on the defensive end. Sometimes he'll definitely look overmatched as the shorter, skinnier rookie, which is to be expected, but he's not afraid to get up in people, and he plays with a lot of energy because he knows that when he comes in there, he has to work for everything to keep getting minutes. So most of the rookies on this team, the percentages aren't great, numbers aren't great, but he's definitely shown flashes to where, a couple months down the road when this team is well out of the playoff hunt, he'll be getting hopefully consistent minutes by then.
And where do you see the team at the end of the season? I'm looking at 538's projections right now, and it's taking me three or four scrolls to find the Suns, but there they are. 538 has them at a 5% chance of making the playoffs, although they are up from last week at a plus 26 from last week's change. Their record projected as 29-53. Does that sound right, or is that a little ambitious?
I think that sounds about right. It could be a little ambitious. They might fall in that 26, 28 range. But there's definitely talent here. And I think as the younger guys get more minutes, get more comfortable, as Earl Watson gets more comfortable as a head coach, because he hasn't even with his interim time, he hasn't even been doing this for a year yet. And there are a lot of new faces on this team. But I think as time goes on, they'll be able to beat some of the worst teams that they've been losing to. They lost to the Wizards the other night. They lost to the Sixers by 15 a few nights back. I think games like those will start becoming wins, especially once Devin Booker kind of gets more acclimated and shakes off the early rust.
Two more questions for you. Who wins the game tonight, Phoenix or Minnesota?
I'm probably going to go with Minnesota. I think, I'm not sure I'm digging the front court matchups for the Suns, even though Alex Len has been playing fairly well recently. And also, the Suns, the thing that worries me about the Suns is their three-point shooting is really, it's not a point of emphasis at all. I mean, I think they rank in the bottom five for attempts, makes, and percentage. So it's not a point of emphasis. And with as well as Andrew Wiggins has shot the ball, and with as potent as Minnesota's offense has looked, Phoenix's kind of porous defense is a concern for me tonight.
Are you jumping on the Grand Canyon University basketball bandwagon, or are you are you reserving judgment until a later date?
You know, I'm gonna. I feel like once they hired Dan Majerle, it was kind of really easy to jump on.
Absolutely,
I've been to the campus. It's really beautiful down there. It's a great campus.
Yep.
So yeah, you know, go. What are they? Antelopes? Jackalopes?
They're the antelopes.
One of the lopes. Yeah, go lopes.
They're not the Scottsdale Community College Fighting Artichokes. I tell you that much.
Yes.
Will the Suns ultimately poach Thunder Dan from the from Grand Canyon University? You know, that's obviously speculation, but that seems like an obvious hire when he's done doing his thing at GCU.
It could. I mean, maybe in the future. They've got Watson locked in for 3 years, I think. And you know, I think they kind of screwed the pooch on that one when they first
because he was
Jeff Hornacek.
He was an assistant there for a while. Yeah,
he was, and he was pretty upset that he was who was the interim? Lindsey Hunter. God, yep. That was terrible.
it's been rough to watch from afar as somebody who grew up a Suns fan and enjoyed going to games during the 7 seconds or less era. Gerald, thank you so much for your time today. Gerald, pronounce your last name for me again. I already forgot.
Borgay.
You can find his work at hoopshabit.com. He writes about the NBA all the time, almost daily, specifically the Suns and the Golden State Warriors. So you can check him out on Twitter. It is at Gerald Borgay, GeraldBourguet. Gerald, thanks so much for your time today, and we look forward to following your work in the future.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
No problem at all. Have yourself a good night and enjoy the game.
You too.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.